With the U.S. Supreme Court poised to rule on whether cities can ban public camping as a means to address homelessness, there's a heated debate underway. Opponents argue that such bans criminalize homelessness, while supporters maintain they're crucial for public safety. Michigan, home to an estimated 32,000 homeless residents, stands at the forefront of this national conversation. And on the WJR Morning Live line to speak on this issue is Lisa Chapman. She's Director of Public Policy for the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness. Lisa, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're well. And with homelessness on the rise here in Michigan, especially after the challenges of the pandemic, how do you foresee this decision possibly affecting the homeless in the state of Michigan?
Great question. So first of all, let me just say that homelessness is an issue where we are seeing a severe lack of affordable housing across the country and in Michigan. And so this is an interesting time for the court to be taking up this really important case about the rights of people who are homeless, as well as the rights of public and citizens. So there's a couple ways that this could go. We should know something by the end of June, but this is a case about Grants Pass, Oregon, where they've been fining people for the case was originally brought in 2018, but it goes back years where people are fined for even having a blanket or pillow or lying down at any time of the day in a public space, right of way land, any kind of a public space. And the crux of the matter in Grants Pass is they don't have enough shelter for everyone. So they have a rising rate of homelessness, a lack of affordable housing, and not enough shelter, which a lot of communities here in Michigan and across the country have.
I've got some friends in Grand Rapids who have said that they literally don't go downtown anymore. Not because seeing homeless people bothers them, but the homeless people were pretty aggressive at their panhandling. So if we can't clear out encampments like that, how do we provide a safe environment, especially for seniors?
And we want a safe environment for everyone. So we need to expand access to affordable housing, develop more affordable housing. We also need to engage people, and there's a lot of great services, street outreach, that work with law enforcement, especially in some of our communities where we're seeing higher numbers of unsheltered homeless folks. So that's really key, to make sure that people have somewhere to go. People don't wake up and say, you know, I'm going to be homeless. They find their life, you know, has situations and barriers and unfortunate circumstances where they lose their housing and can't afford a new one. And so criminalizing homelessness does nothing to help people get out of that predicament. It's really kind of put additional barriers in front of people that already have barriers and already have challenges. So working together with law enforcement, the homeless response, the helping agencies, to kind of engage people and figure out what are their needs, what can we do to help them in the short term? And then the key question is, how do we get them into housing? And that's the question that we need to be asking everyone.
Did you see the transcripts from oral arguments? What do you think the Supreme Court might do here?
I've seen some summaries of some of the questions, some of the comments that were made, and I think it's really hard to know. It's not just going to be, you know, it could be a ruling in favor of Grants Pass or a ruling in favor of Johnson, but it could go a number of different ways. It could be more of a narrow ruling. I think let me just say two things. The good thing is that it's shining a light on the whole affordable housing issue, the epidemic of sheltered homelessness that we're seeing. I think we're hoping that they side with the city, with the plaintiff, Johnson, against the city, which the lower courts have, saying that it violates people's Eighth Amendment rights to cruel and unusual punishment and, you know, fees and fines. So that's what we're hoping for. It didn't sound promising from just listening to some of the questions, but they could take more of a narrow view. But even if they rule with the city, it really doesn't require any community in Michigan to put these punitive barriers in front of people. It won't prevent them, but we're hoping that communities in Michigan and engaging with law enforcement and municipal leaders is key. And this is a complex problem. So there are all kinds of alternative things that people can do to engage people at the same time, offering them services, making interim shelter available. Communities need to either expand shelter. I know in the UP, they have a severe lack of shelter and they're trying to stand one up in the UP. So it's crucial that people have a place to go. It's really hot right now, getting out of the elements and really working with people to figure out what the barriers are to getting them into housing.
Lisa, the estimated 32,000 homeless residents in the state, do you think that's undercounted?
We think it is an undercount because it doesn't take into account the people that we call who are couch surfing or staying, you know, with a family or friend on the couch. So those folks, if they don't go into shelter or they don't present with a homeless response agency, they don't get counted. So we do think that any count that we have is an undercount because it doesn't count those folks.
So we need to improve the data collection. We need to improve the data collection some kind of way.
Well, it's very hard to get to have access to those people because they're not going into an agency for help. Right now, they're trying to just stay housed and stay on someone's couch until they can save enough money or figure it out, you know, to get into an apartment. But it's really hard to count them.
As you talk to municipalities, Lisa, and do you have an idea of how they might change their enforcement procedures if the city of Grants Pass wins at the Supreme level?
Well, I'm hoping that they find out that this is not the city of Grants Pass has not solved their homelessness problem in the decades that they've been, you know, fining and
clearing the camps,
trying to punish people.
Yeah.
Right. And so taking a cue from cities like Houston, who have dramatically reduced their homeless numbers, and it's a huge city, and taking all of the things that we know work, which is providing services, engaging people one-on-one, not forcing people to move. They're from the community. They're not moving, you know, across the country to be homeless. People are from here and want to stay here. So we need to engage with them and have kind of an all-hands-on-deck approach. Municipal leaders, law enforcement, the helping agencies, mental health, substance use, criminal justice. We all need to be working together because no one wants to see anyone sleeping a night on the street.
No.
Well, we will await the Supreme Court's ruling sometime this summer. And Lisa Chapman, Director of Public Policy for the Michigan Coalition Against Homelessness, we thank you for being here on JR Morning.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Just like we talked to Father McCabe yesterday in the building that they're building over there for the homeless with all the wraparound services.
Definition
and all that.
Of engaging.
That is kind of going to become maybe the poster agency for that. We thank you for sharing your Thursday morning with us. We'll be back at 6 to do it again. All Talk is next.